Hello and welcome to this Pacey podcast. I'm Teresa Johnson, Head of Partnerships at Pacey, and I'm joined today by Dr. Jeremy Davis, who's Head of Communications at the Fatherhood Institute. We're here today to have a chat about men working in the early years, and we'll discuss some of the challenges, some of the solutions, and later on we'll be able to hear directly from a range of male early years practitioners. So let's get started. And Jeremy, welcome. Welcome to this podcast.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So Jeremy and I have had lots of discussions through some of the work we've been doing previously with Pacey. And one of the things we wanted to sort of start by thinking about is setting the scene, really, and thinking about what are the challenges? What's the problem here? And do we kind of have an overview of the current state of play, really, of the number of male practitioners in the sector? So, Jeremy, what's your kind of flavour and thoughts on that in terms of identifying what the real issues are?
Okay, so we do have figures. The figures on gender in the early years workforce are a bit imperfect because they're not always collected. And it's also not always clear how many child-facing practitioners there are, as opposed to how many people in organisations generally. So getting a really clear picture of how many men are in those child-facing roles is quite difficult. But the best current estimates are that there's the workforce is about 3% male in England, 4% in Scotland, and the best figures I've got for Wales suggests that there is one man for every 8 women in Wales. And so to put all of that into some context, we're about average internationally. The country with the highest proportion of men is Norway, and they're at about 9% male.
That's really interesting and interesting when you do a comparison to us across other nations and across other countries too. That's fascinating. So there's a lot of conversations, isn't there, around diversity generally in the earlier sector, but particularly thinking about gender. Why is that so important, do you think?
So I think this is really it's a question of diversity mattering in all types of work. So children really should be looked after and educated by a workforce that represents the community it serves. So I think they should be growing up with lived experience of men and women working together as caregivers and educators. I think people sometimes talk about getting more men into early years as if we should be doing this to give children, and especially boys, access to more male role models. I would say that's a bit of a problematic argument, actually. And in fact, it's much better to stick to the simple motive of wanting to create a diverse and inclusive workforce in the same way as we might want to do that in terms of ethnic background, for example.
Sure, that kind of simplifies it, really, doesn't it? And takes away some of the other, not that they're not important, the other thoughts are important and they kind of go into the mix, don't they? But actually from a kind of being truly inclusive and actually representation for children, that's crucial, isn't it? And that's a really massive part of what we're trying to achieve.
Yes, and I think we can, part of the problem is that we can slip into, the moment we start talking in terms of needing men for a particular reason other than simply because we want an inclusive workforce, we can start very quickly to get into stereotyping about men. And so I think actually this is one of those things where it's better just to keep it simple. We need more men because we want a workforce that represents the community. So let's get on with getting them through the door.
Yeah, good point. I think that leads us on nicely, really, to thinking about career choices for boys particularly, and from that very early age, how careers are presented to the male gender, really, and workforce. So what impact do you think gender stereotypes have on that kind of career choice for boys?
Well, I think children and young people grow up in a very gendered world, and their career aspirations tend to be restricted by gender stereotypes from a very young age. So we know, for example, that by the time they're age 7, girls are 9 times more likely than boys to say that they would like to be a teacher. Given that what they see around them is that they're being cared for and educated by an almost entirely female workforce, that's probably not really very surprising. So I think in the early years, there are lots of great practitioners doing lots of work to disrupt gender stereotypes with the children. And it's great news that Ofsted is going to be expecting this now of settings to achieve a good rating. Up to now, it would mark you out as outstanding. So that's great news. But once children hit primary school, education becomes more subject-based, and they find themselves swimming in a soup of gendered expectations and behaviours and stereotypes. So I think when it comes to the point where they're thinking about careers, most of the damage is already done. So most boys and young men are not thinking of themselves at all as potential educators or caregivers. If they did, they would probably face ridicule and maybe even bullying. And I think we need to think about the ones who could be perfectly good at the job but haven't even thought about it. And at the moment, there's no coordinated attempt to disrupt any of this through, for example, school-based careers advice, or through the kinds of projects that we're used to happening, that, you know, to encourage girls and women into STEM subjects, for example. So I think that really needs to change, because these are two sides of the same coin, and we really need governments and others to invest money, time, and energy into both sides of the coin, not just supporting women into male-dominated workforces, but also boys and men into female-dominated ones.
Yeah, and I think we've seen over the years, haven't we, a driver towards that, you know, to make sure that women are fairly represented in that male workforce, but not necessarily the other way around for men into the female workforce. That hasn't been on the agenda, has it, at all? So that's a really interesting point. So I think we're kind of set the scene, and we know what the challenges are. What do you think, what can we do about it? What's some of the solutions that you've kind of thought of, really, and kind of been working through?
So I think this is a battle that needs to be fought on lots of different fronts and at lots of different levels. So at the government level, for example, as I just said, I think there is a need to invest money and energy into projects that aim to create a more gender diverse early years workforce. And so we've seen this kind of thing happen in lots of other fields. So in the military, for example, in the police, in private industry, initiatives supporting women to get into the boardroom, the STEM projects that I mentioned earlier. Of course, part of the problem with early years is that female workforces tend to be underpaid and low status. And so it's not easy to promote careers like that to anybody really, but especially to an audience that maybe hasn't thought about it much before. But so I think there's a lot that the government could be doing to provide strong leadership on this. I think we need early years careers to be better supported. It would be very helpful to have a national advertising campaign about this in the same way as has been done with Teach First, for example, or those sorts of things in primary schools. Well-funded evaluation programs to work out the best approaches to gender diversification, because we know, I know from personal experience that, you know, it's one thing thinking that it would be nice to have more men in the sector, but actually when you get down to trying to achieve that, it's not simple. I think it would be, I think lots of people agree that the careers, the routes through into and through early years education can be a bit complicated and off-putting. Of course, pay is an issue too. Although I think, again, it's a bit misguided to focus exclusively on pay as if that's the solution to getting more men in, because my answer to that is, well, you know, there are lots of men who work in other low paid roles. And so, you know, why wouldn't we welcome them into this workforce too? Of course, it would be great for early years to be better paid. But if we wait for that to happen before we reach out to men, then we're going to be waiting a very long time.
Yeah, and I think we have spoken before, Jeremy, about the impact of COVID really also on in terms of the way men are feeling about their caregiving responsibilities, and the fact that, you know, the family dynamics have changed considerably over the past 2 years, haven't they, as a result of the pandemic. So I don't know if you want to pick up on anything there in terms of that, men and how they found themselves in those roles during lockdown or during working from home and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we at the Fatherhood Institute have done, we did some research looking at in the first lockdown, spring 2020, and we found that the gender care gap narrowed considerably, actually, during that period, although it was quite short, and it has, the care gap has widened again since then, although not to the point where it was before all this happened. So I do think the COVID experience has been significant in lots of families. Men have been doing more of the hands-on caregiving, and they've been involving themselves more in supporting their children's education. Also, of course, in lots of families, this has acted as a kind of a shake-up of what people are doing, their ambitions, how they want to spend their working lives and share, you know, how parents share the care and all of that. So it feels to me as if there is an opportunity here to reach out to men and to nudge them into considering early years education as a, you know, as a career change. Obviously, there have been challenges to that because the early years sector has been going through a very difficult time. And so there are only so many hours in the day, and some of the things that you might want to do to get men to consider this career, like inviting them in to open days and things like that, it hasn't felt like that's been possible. But moving forward, I think I feel like the whole COVID experience, if anything, puts us in a stronger position. Because there is a bigger potential audience out there of men who have lived experience of looking after children and have really enjoyed that. And maybe what they need is somebody to show them that actually you can turn that into a job.
Yeah, and I think enjoyment is the key word there, isn't it? It's actually, you know, that's what's best for children, is that the practitioners, regardless of their gender, who absolutely love being with children, that's what it's all about. And there's an enjoyment there.
Hi, I'm Ian Henderson. I'm a childminder based in Battersea Coed in North Wales. I've been childminding now for about 5 years, and I absolutely love it. It's great meeting all the different children and finding out and watching them grow and develop and seeing something new every single day. You never know what they're going to do. I decided to move into the early years when I was with my own child, and I was going to play groups and things like that. And I found that other children seemed to be sort of drawn towards me. And all the mums were like going, "You're brilliant with these children. How do you do it?" And I was like, "Well, I just play with them." And then as it happened, my job at the time disappeared. So I thought, well, why don't I look into childminding? I have the space at home. I have a lovely house in the middle of the country with plenty of woods around it to do lots of outdoor things, which I love doing as well. So I moved into the early years and worked from there.
Hi, my name's Tony Dixon. I work at Julie and Joe's Childcare. I'm a childminding assistant alongside my wife, who is a childminder. I decided on a career as a childminding assistant in early years. About 7 or 8 years ago, when my wife was finding the business, it was getting quite busy with demand from parents and also supporting her with the paperwork side of childminding. That was about 7 or 8 years ago, and came on board to help with her and help support her as a childminding assistant.
Thank you, Ian and Tony. It's really interesting to hear how you came to join the sector. And thank you to Jeremy for setting the scene for us too. Join us for part two, where we'll be discussing the barriers and challenges of recruiting men into the childcare and early years sector.